One of the most interesting figures in boxing history was a German who was associated with the Third Reich, but who was not a member of the Nazi Party. Commentator Frank DeFord offers these thoughts.
I suspect all of us wonder how we would act under extreme circumstance. How would I respond in combat when the bullets flew? Would I run into the burning building to save the baby? And what would I have done had I lived in Germany, as Max Schmeling did when the Nazis came to power? Schmeling, the first European heavyweight champion, the first man to beat Joe Louis, died the other day just months shy of his 100th birthday. But I don't think the old man ever stopped wondering about how he dealt with Hitler and his wicked minions back when Schmeling was young and strong and handsome and smart and the idol of a nation. After the war, so many Germans pleaded ignorance to what had gone before. Schmeling owned up. In truth, we all knew, he wrote. It was no secret that there were camps in Germany. It was openly discussed. Schmeling wasn't just a pug. He was self-taught, cosmopolitan, a conspicuous part of the avant-garde Berlin nightlife. He married a gorgeous movie star, Annie Andra. Many Jews were his friends until, of course, they began to disappear one by one. Schmeling convinced himself that as the Nazis used him, he could use his fame and popularity for good against them. Maybe that was his only choice, to play that risky symbiotic role. But could Schmeling, Germany's champion, have done more? Would Hitler have dared to take out the fatherland's dearest athlete? Anyway, Schmeling would not become a Nazi. To the horror of many friends, he even baldly turned down the distinguished dagger of honor that Hitler offered him. Schmeling would not give up his American Jewish manager, Joe Jacobs, on Kristallnacht. As Nazi thugs ran wild, Schmeling hid two Jewish boys in his apartment. That was at the very peril to his life. After the war, Schmeling became a wealthy businessman and philanthropist. He sought out Joe Louis to be his friend. He often sent money to the indigent old champ. Everybody who met Schmeling liked him. Alas, he had to live out the last 18 years of his life alone, a widower, on his estate near Hamburg. He was buried next to Annie, his wife of 52 years, but he thought that that was as close as he would ever get to her again. Schmeling had no faith in the afterlife. To me, he told his closest friend, religion means to give, to do good. We live on solely as someone who is being remembered, someone who is talked about. It must have mattered so very much to Schmeling that he be forever celebrated, not as a boxer, but for his charity and for the hope that he did do the best he could when he was, so very long ago, a hero living amidst devils. Surely he must have heard Edmund Burke's famous admonition that the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And we can say this, Max Schmeling was a good man, and how many of us would have been better?
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.